Welcome to Ask Dr. Julie Hanks, a safe place for healing conversations that educate and empower you to prioritize your dreams, revolutionize your family, and personalize your faith. I'm your host, Dr. Julie Hanks, a psychotherapist and coach offering online courses and programs to help women all over the world heal themselves and their relationships. Join me here every week as I coach a listener through a specific challenge and empower them with tools to find healing. I'm so happy to welcome Cassie to the podcast today. Welcome, Cassie.
Thank you, Dr. Julie. It's great to be here.
What is your question for me today?
So I'll tell you my question and then I'll kind of give you a bit of a background. So okay. My question is, how can I find support for myself and my own mental health while my husband is navigating healing from a traumatic childhood? So my husband is extraordinary. I admire him so much. And I'm so grateful that he has chosen to, you know, accept his lot in life and become better because of it. He hasn't let it, you know, taken him the other direction, which I know is an easy thing to have happen. And He didn't have a very ideal childhood. He had some really traumatic experiences and pretty much became the parental figure in his home at a really young age.
Yeah.
And he's aware of this. He's dealing with it. He sees a therapist. He's doing so much hard work. But of course, these things take time. And we see a lot of it still affect our marriage. And a big portion of it, I would say, is our communication. That's what I would love to focus on today. So, I mean, to put it simply, many conversations that come up, if it's anything above small talk, is very quickly registered as a threat, and he shuts down. He's aware he does this, but when he shuts down, he's just not there anymore. And I used to get really frustrated. I used to think that was because he didn't care about what I had to say. And so I would push and push, and he would shut down more, and I'd push more, and it was just a terrible cycle. And now I'm getting much better at identifying when he shut down and that it's better just to take a step back. He's very conflict, you know, resistant. And so my question focuses on, how can I help myself during those moments when he's unavailable? Because the story I hear my brain telling me is, your problems have to wait. Your wants, your needs, your desires, everything that you need has to wait until he's available. And I don't like that story, and I want to challenge it, but I don't know where to go.
Okay. So let's come up with some other possible stories.
Okay.
So what is another possible story other than everything you want and need has to wait till he's healed?
I do believe, and I'd like to believe that, you know, there are other things I can do for myself. I know there are, and I am trying. I mean, I see my own therapist. I have looked into medication that I've been trying. I educate myself a lot. I try to do so many things to support myself and to find healing in other areas when he's not available. But it, for me, it's just hard to balance, you know, wanting to be able to stand on my own, but also wanting the supportive husband that I know he wants to be. He wants to be that person.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what to do when he can't show up.
Yeah. So do you have any good girlfriends?
I do. I have a few. We've lived here for a few years, but and there's a lot of factors, but we don't have a lot of family here. And I'm still pretty unfamiliar with the area. And so I do have friends. They're mostly mom friends who also have young children and as such have really busy schedules. And the way my schedule is, I don't have much time. I know that sounds like an excuse, and I've tried everywhere to try and, you know, make time for friends because I thrive off of that.
Yeah.
But it's just, it seems so much easier when I think about doing it and I look at the past weeks and I don't get much time with other people.
Yeah. So I think that is a big place, like a really important place to start. If your husband is not available frequently, it sounds like you need connection and you need support, and that needs to come from other people. So how can you build in some social interaction? So it's not like, oh, you just have to fit it in the cracks of kids and schedules and that kind of thing. Like, is there a night each week where your husband could be in charge of family responsibilities and you could do something with a friend or go to a movie, or like that's built in so you don't have to think about it every week? It's like prevention.
Yeah. And actually, we do have that night. I sometimes leave, but usually, we do have that night. And I'm very grateful for that. We each have one and we both love it. And good. Usually what I find is that when my night comes around, I'm pretty burnt out. And I know that going out with someone would probably lift me more than it would make me more tired. But in that moment, I struggle a lot with anxiety and chronic stress. And he works really long hours. So we get about 2 hours together a day. And so leaving for that time is really hard to comprehend. But I hear that it would be a good idea.
And listen, when I say schedule it ahead of time, so you're not like, oh, I'm too tired. It's like, okay, I'm going to dinner with this friend on Thursday night. Whether I feel like it or not, this is what I need more interaction, and this is what I'm committed to, and I deserve it.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds like you're under a tremendous amount of stress. Your husband's under a tremendous amount of stress, and that's just really, really hard. It's really hard. But the story that everything that you want needs to be on hold for his healing is not true. It's not true. You can't wait.
I guess I do have another question with that.
Yeah.
There are, like, most of the time what we struggle to talk about are the conversations that need to come up. It's not even one particular subject. It's everything from, you know, the mental load, my role as kind of the default parent, just things that I want to talk about from my therapy session that I want to share with him. And not all of those are things that I would want to share with a friend. They feel like very intimate things that I would like to share with him. Mm-hmm. So I guess, do you have any advice there of those more intimate subjects that I feel belong in a marriage and that I want to be in our marriage?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just immediately in those moments, like after he shut down and I'm not pushing and I've just accepted, okay, I have to wait. It's that moment where I feel like I need something to do or to focus on while I wait for him to recenter, because he does. And we do talk about it eventually.
Oh, good.
But that time right there is turmoil for me. I only don't push because I know it won't do anything.
Right. Right. Okay. I want you to pull out a journal and start writing.
Okay.
Okay. In those moments where he's not available, you can be available for you. You can talk about the relational things that are bothering you, or you can vent, or you can, whatever you want, just write it down. Because that's a way of getting it outside of your body and onto paper. So you're not just sitting with this unresolved issue. I mean, you're still sitting with it, but it's like not all inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to write.
Okay.
You do that?
Yeah, I would love to do that. Actually, I love journaling already. And okay. I don't like to angry journal, but I think I'll start.
Yeah. And you might want to get another journal. I actually have one that's literally black. It's my black journal. And it's where I write my dark thoughts. And it's just depressing stuff.
I like that.
Angry stuff, you know? So I think journaling would be really good. I also want to encourage you to ask for permission to bring up those topics that you know are going to be sensitive. So that might sound like, hey, hon, I have some things I want to share about the mental load that I'm carrying. When would be a good time? Is now a good time, or, you know, when would be a good time? And giving him a little bit of preparation emotionally so he can gear himself up to have a harder conversation that's going to likely bring up feelings for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's something that we are getting better at doing, which I don't love it. I see that it's a good thing to do. I see the benefit of it. I'm willing to do it. It's hard in the moment because I feel like I'm already putting in so much work and that just feels like one extra step, but it is one that I'm willing to do because I see the greater good.
Yeah. And I suggest that to a lot of couples in different situations. It's just nice to give people a heads up. Like I want to have a hard conversation. Is now a good time? Like, that's not that much work. It is work, right? Because you have to remember it. But if it ultimately gets more of what you need, it's worth it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So can you try that? Like asking for permission to bring up a touchy subject and ask if it's a good time?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we kind of don't talk anymore if we don't do that. So we're okay. Doing pretty well with that one.
So you're learning.
Our struggle is, I mean, again, there's lots of influences, but time is a real constraint. I mean, like I said, we only get a handful of hours together a day. He gets about 30 minutes a day with our daughter when he's not on his day off. And so oftentimes we do try to schedule it for, you know, when we're both together.
Yeah.
The hard part is just the last thing either one of us wants to do is talk in those moments when we just want to be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried text-based communication, like writing each other letters or texting what you want to say instead of having a conversation?
A little bit, but that's a good idea to try more.
So you may want to try writing him a letter if there's something so he can process it on his own time and he can work on managing his emotions that come up because of his trauma.
Okay.
So that's another suggestion. Rather than using your precious 2 hours to, you know, to have a hard conversation, hand him a letter. He can, you know, say, I'd like a response in the next 7 days, and he can write a response to you. And so it's addressing the issues, but in a way that's very slow, where he can have more time to process.
Okay.
Does that sound like something that you could try?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's very doable.
Good, good. Cassie, what do you do for fun?
Oh, not a lot. And I'm aware of that.
Okay. Okay.
In order for me to maintain my job, which I love my job and it's very flexible. I can do it good. Throughout the day whenever I can. But because of that, I don't have a lot of babysitter help. They're in short supply. And so I work about an hour in the morning and then I work a couple hours in the evening. So I don't really have a big chunk of the day to go do things. I'm kind of on and off trying to balance motherhood and my job. So I have little windows and most recently I've even been writing lists of things I'd rather do than chores, things I'd rather do than just be home. And I've taken steps to doing more of that.
Good, good. Do you have childcare for when you're working?
A little bit. I just have a part-time job. I don't make a whole lot. And so paying for a regular sitter wouldn't really add up for us. So I have a couple hours of help in the evening about 3 days a week. And the rest of it, I just kind of back and forth.
Okay. So I want to ask you something, kind of a hard question.
Okay.
Would you expect your husband to go to work and take your baby and get his work done?
No.
Okay. Just keep that in mind. Also, childcare should come out of both of your incomes, not just yours. He's not there and you're not available. It's a shared expense.
No, I agree with that. And when I say that, I guess I worded it in a way that kind of suggested it had to come out of mine. And in a sense it does, but we're very diligent budgeters. You know, when he had his job only, we had everything allocated to either savings or bills or whatever. I wanted to work to add a little bit more on top of that.
Gotcha.
And so I guess that's where that comes from, because everything's settled and it's all one big lump amount of money that we make together. But
good, because so often women make decisions about work based on taking childcare out of their earnings, where it's really a shared expense. So I'm glad you guys see it that way. there are also other reasons that women work. Like, I enjoy it. Like, it's building a future. And at some point, it will financially make more sense. So it's more complicated than just that equation of like, how much am I bringing in? How much is going out for childcare? Right? Because you're building experience and expertise. So just other things to think about as you do that.
No, that is good. Thank you.
So think of some things you can do with your daughter that sound fun. Like, what do you, you know, what are some things you could do together? So it doesn't have to just be you alone. Could be like, oh, I love going to the park, or I love taking her to the zoo, or, you know, but find things that also bring you joy. So it doesn't have to be separate from that, although it can.
Yeah.
But I get the sense that you don't get a lot of playtime.
No, neither of us do. My husband and I both, we're both very aware of that.
Yeah. And so that might be, you know, taking an hour to watch your favorite TV show with your husband. It might be, you know, just bringing some things that are light and fun, because there just feels like a lot of heaviness in your relationship right now.
Yeah.
And it could be blowing bubbles with your little girl. It doesn't have to be anything big. It could be wrestling with her, you know, whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be outside of the house, and it doesn't have to cost any money, and it doesn't have to, it just has to be lighter than the usual interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound good?
It does. And it sounds familiar too, because those are things that I have seen like recently, you know, little moments like that, little glimmery moments where it's just so simple. We'll just be playing on the kitchen floor, things like that. And I want more things like that. I guess lately, and I hope I can word this eloquently. just lately, it just feels like I feel very stuck. Bottom line, I feel very stuck. You're right on the money when you say there's a lot of heaviness in our relationship, and the things you're suggesting, I'm going to put more effort in to do better at. And they're things that I've known would be good. And I've been trying, you know, for months, I've been aware of years, my mental health issues, and I've been trying to address them. And I felt like things were better. And then just recently, the last couple months, I've been sick numerous times. I've had lots of health issues come up. And the bottom line from every professional I've talked to is stress is the common factor. And it's really discouraging to feel like I'm trying to take things off my plate, to bring more fun into our lives, and then this whole, you know, whoosh comes of all of these things saying that I'm still too stressed, I'm still not doing enough, and it's hard to feel like that's not my fault, that stress isn't my fault.
Okay, so I want to challenge this I'm not doing enough. What are things that you can stop doing and let go of?
I've asked myself that question a lot, and I thought I had let go of everything I could, except for my internal expectations are off the charts. I'm aware of that. I know I really struggle with perfectionism, and I expect the world of myself and of my husband, and I'm learning to let that go of him and let him be his own person, but I haven't gained that trust in myself to know what I am capable of, especially since having a daughter. Cause I used to think, you know, anything I set my mind to, I could do. And then when you become a mother, so much shifts and all of a sudden I am never on time. And that really, really gets me. And little things that I used to be able to count on myself doing, I am not doing. And I want to shift that expectation.
Yeah. So I want your new motto to be do less. Like, and just go, you know what? I'm going to be 10 minutes late while I have a little baby. Okay. And then learn how to practice being late and learn how to, you know, like do less. I'm going to do less. because your expectations are probably exacerbating the actual stress that you're under, mm-hmm. you know, just the practical kinds of things. And so I think it's time to give yourself permission just to do less. Go for good enough. That's one of my favorite phrases. Go for good enough. We're on time enough. And then another one of my perfectionist phrases is, so go for good enough, and then more often than not.
Yes, okay? I've heard you say that.
Okay.
I've said it in my brain so many times.
Oh, good, good. More often than not, I do, you know, I make healthy food, or more often than not, I'm patient. Or so those are some kind of phrases that I like to hold on to.
Yeah, those are really helpful.
Cassie, what are you going to take from our conversation today?
Well, I have so many journals already, but I'm going to add a little black one because I kind of have moments where I'll journal, but I'd like to have a dedicated space for those really hard moments. I wrote down the idea to write a letter and, you know, be clear about when I would like a response in a reasonable amount of time, you know, mm-hmm. and just to do less. I've been working on that, and I think you've given me some good tools to keep trying.
Yeah, you're doing really, really well in a really hard circumstance. You really are. So give yourself a little more grace and a little more credit for the good job that you're doing, for how supportive you are to your husband, how much you're committed to being there for your daughter. You're doing a really good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope this has been helpful, Cassie.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, friends. Have you ever thought of working with me as your personal coach? Well, I have a couple of openings for women in Utah or virtually all across the globe, and I would love to work with you. I'm a licensed therapist, and I've been specializing in women's emotional health and relationships for nearly 30 years, and I've transitioned to doing personal coaching. I love it, and I'm excited to work with you. I help women making career and life decisions, communication training, moving on after children have moved out of the home or after divorce, finding your passion in life, or creating partnership in your marriage and family. I also work a lot with faith transitions and mixed faith marriages. I'm confident that I can help you create the life you love. I can't wait to work with you. And you can use code 150OFF for $150 off priority coaching with me. Go to drjuliehanks.com/coaching or email hello@drjuliehanks.com for more information. Again, that code is 150, so 150 off, OFF. Have you ever thought, hey, I want to talk to Dr. Julie Hanks about this question? Well, now's your chance. I want to have you on my podcast. So email hello@drjuliehanks.com with your question and the reason why you want to be on the podcast. And we may just choose you for a free coaching session.